Oh, sorry, it's going to look rubbish. It's going to take too much time to fix it up right now, so you know, I'll use the same excuse that Pask used. In his talk, he spoke about this tool. It was useful, so I just grabbed finance. At work, I work at network administration. We've got lots of different switches, lots of different routers, lots of equipment that we need to manage. And I was just going to give a very, very brief talk about why we use Debian and how Debian works for us. This talk is very rushed. It's very dodgy. It's probably not terribly exciting to 90% of the people here. So if anyone wants to leave, I'll give you a couple minutes.
Sorry?
I got about an hour or two's notice, so I'm not fast. John was going to be giving a talk at this time slot, which I assume is why everyone else is here, because they didn't come for me. We've got DHCP servers, DNS servers. When your network grows beyond a certain size, it gets very complex to manage. And we've been using Debian tools, Debian particularly, to help us manage things like that, to help us manage our switches. There's a really awesome tool called Rancid that I don't think gets enough, press, gets enough recognition, that is excellent for maintaining switches, routers. If you've got any Cisco, Netgear, HP routers and switches, it'll just download all the configs, keep them in CVS for you. So it emails you any changes in your switches, so you've got updates, you've got backups. It's great for restoring network configuration, you know what you're doing, bringing one router's config to another router, stuff like that. There's a talk that I saw in the program later on this week. If you're interested in network administration at all, I'd say definitely go to that talk. It's by Kim Horton. I've only read the abstract myself, but it sounds very interesting. I thought I'd just plug somebody else's talk. Here's some of the tools that we've been using we find very useful. Rancid, I've already had a quick chat about. It's really a very useful tool. Excuse me, typos and other problems. It's really quick to act up slides. Mailping is a very useful tool as well, which will test mail paths. You'll send an email to a location, which you can then send around, and all the time, mail deliveries, you can hook it up into Nagios, so it'll actually send, I get SMSs that takes more than an hour to deliver an email to a remote site and back. So tools like this are very useful. The fact that it's all in Debian, I just can type in apt-get install mailping on any of our monitoring servers, type in copy a couple of configs over, and I'm set to go. It's really a very useful tool. Some of these, anyone who's sort of played much with networks would be familiar with. So it's FreeRadius, which is a Radius server. Anyone interested in anything about that? Radius usually used for authentication to devices. So switches and routers talk to Radius. You run Radius service, so you've got distributed authentication. If you use TACAS, which is a step above that, you can get tiers and very fine-grained control and authentication. SysLogNG, very useful tool for network logging. Flow tools for NetFlows reporting, auditing, and billing uses. TFTP is just general switch and router maintenance. You can copy around images. Nagios is probably one of the best tools I've used. It's very good for knowing what's going on in your network, but it is not trivial to install. It's not trivial to get working just right. One of the things that we're working on is tools at work that use our databases and our details. We've got a tool that we use called NetDisco. We're hoping to get information out of NetDisco and feed it into Nagios and generate some Nagios configurations. But it's a useful tool. It just needs a lot of work to get right. NetDisco is awesome. Unfortunately, it's not a Debian package, so it wasn't on that slide. Everyone's probably familiar with those. So NetDisco that we use, that's a very useful tool for finding what's on your network. It actually traces through your network using CDP, SNMP. What's the third method? Do you remember the third method it uses?
No, we probably use CDP.
Okay.
There's a little curl agent that runs on the servers as well that does
CDP
on it.
So
Netcom connectivity.
Did he publish it?
Yeah, I pushed it through. Netcom mostly wrap around the C thing you wrote. It's about the C thing, isn't it?
Sounds very good, yeah. I'll look into that later on.
The daemon that we use is, but it's just an event-driven interface.
Yeah. Well, there's also a couple of tools that actually you can feed CDP information onto a wire, so I'm sure you can wrap up the scripts around that.
Exactly.
Well,
so basically,
this
code goes
excellent.
Using CDP embedded,
it covers
using CDP and then
destination MPs.
Yeah,
to
it,
details.
We
looked
it into the Linux box,
the
form of the CDP bit.
Okay.
So the Linux box actually tends to look at those.
Excellent. So, yeah, it can appear basically as a network device for network tools. NetDisco will also use SNMP to discover neighbours under various conditions because not everything supports CDP, which is, well, it's named Cisco Discovery Protocol, but a lot of devices support it these days. Other cool tools, NOCAT. Everyone's probably signed up to wireless here before. NOCAT, I'm not sure, Matt, you guys using NOCAT or something similar? Okay. So NOCAT does something similar to the wireless port that we've got here. But, yeah. So, there you go.
The reserve that we use
is Wi-Fi Dog and Wi-Fi Dog. Okay. Wi-Fi Dog is something I found when I was trying to get the URL for NOCAT because I'd forgotten it at the time.
Yeah.
There are portal tools like that. We are working on developing networks pretty much like what we've got for the Compass Network here, and NOCAT so far has worked out very well for us in testing. I'll take those notes and play them later on. Debian rocks, basically, is what my whole point is. We'd rather go with Debian where everything's consistent, everything's standard. You install a standard stable CD and you know what's on it. You know where things are. It doesn't require, you know, knowing that Apache's files are here and Squid's files are somewhere else. It's all very standard, very simple. That, to me, at work is one of the best parts of Debian. Any other questions? Or it was a short talk. Any other questions? Or anyone? Does anyone else actually use or run administer networks? Or have any comments? Or I mean, do you guys use Debian throughout your network, or? Why not? What's the problem for you guys?
No, it isn't such a problem. It's more that by the time I got there, they're all Red Hat Winnies and Red Hat across the board. And pretty much once you've got a whole network of procedures to roll out packages and to configure machines that are all based around a Red Hat centric, it's hard to put them the other way.
This is all mainly. This is mainly about administering, not actually rolling out to large deployments, which I think Debian's also awesome for. But
so,
yeah.
From our perspective, we don't actually manage them.
These kind of tools all hooked together make my life a lot easier. So, I would like to say yes, we used to, but we're not as lucky anymore. We used to use OTRS, which is a little bit difficult to configure to start with, and it's really ugly, but it's probably one of the best tools I've used. It's much better than the commercial offering that we're now stuck with. Well, at the moment, I'm going to have to touch Windows at all because I'm just dealing with network kit and a few services. The closest that comes to Windows is when DHCP on Windows does something stupid that's not supposed to. So I haven't had to deal much with that. We have had to deal with Samba and printing, getting that working with Windows, but that's generally too hard. Some sort of script or tools to start Kickstarter or similar. I've generally in the past used FAI or FAI CD. Not so much CD anymore because I haven't had to deal with those kind of systems. FII is a great tool for installing custom machines. Not always. If no one minds us segueing slot into an FII talk, FII uses classes. Classes can be defined on host names. So you could basically put this host's configuration in this particular location. Because FII is so scriptable, you can do many useful things. A lot of people have talked about keeping their slash etc directories in version control. Using FII, you can just install the system, drop all your version control and etc, and have it set up as you want. Really, FII requires work to script. It's one of those tools you do need a bit of work to use, like a fair few of these, to get them working just right. But when it does work, it works very well. It works much better in my experience than Kickstart. Or I tried for a little while trying to get Debian installer doing just what I wanted, but it didn't do it at the time anyway. Or I didn't know how to make it do it, which is probably more likely. I was trying to use, it was a mixture of preceding and various hook scripts to get it all working, and I'm sure I could have got it to work if I'd continued through, but FII was already working for me at the time. But no, FII is an awesome tool. Bless them. I have tried in the past system imaging, yes. Experience wasn't terribly good. It works well. My first case when I was using System Imager was about 24 lab machines that had to be identical, and it works great for that. It works great for a small set of machines to be completely identical in every way. When you start trying to write hooks or customize it, so you know this server has this website, that server has that website, System Imager gets a bit painful. And I've found that FII works. I can have one FII server, one image, one install, which installs a workstation or a server or whatever it needs based on classes. So whereas with System Imager you'd need one image per type of machine or possibly one image per machine, worst case, FII does it with just one image, one install. Anyone else at all, please? Most of these are just Debian stable. I just pull straight from Debian stable, install it. The tools all work great. If anyone's got any comments or experiences they'd like to share, I would like to be interested because I was kind of hoping to use this as a chance to steal other people's ideas as well. Because, I mean, lots of people have done some exciting stuff out there that I haven't heard of yet. Anything?
Yeah, the wrong OS, but for Kickstart, we just do the base with Kickstart. So I think
so they're just what post install hacks to drop stuff in.
The installation process and the configuration process is an assertion based thing. This machine should have a patch on it.
So
it should have this line in a config file.
Which CF engine, very CF engine.
Very CF engine, okay. Yeah, but it's sort of in-house custom, all in curl type thing.
Okay.
I saw recently packaged something called Puppet.
Yeah, that's been talked at later. In
right,
week.
I haven't looked at it yet. I'm using it now.
Cool. Does sound very good.
So that one is actually quite interesting.
I've used it to bus service that around the country that should get a Kickstarter based install, set up the same config, and push it out and little tweaks so they all run on, you know, then they'll run Quadler or whatever.
So if anyone hadn't heard, that's Puppet, that's a talk later on the week. CF Engine is a tool that's similar in concept, but doesn't necessarily work as well in my experience. It's great for what it does, but it involves a lot of customising, small customisations of config files.
As far as I can report, FII is primarily, this is how you build the machine and then it doesn't doesn't think about once it's been installed and built the first time around, it doesn't.
It does in some parts, yeah. So what you're saying, FOI does have I think it's an update mode,
right,
where it runs basically all the post-install style scripts regularly if you set it up like that. It uses CF Engine or Perl or basically all the post-install scripts are supported by that. If you're not crazy, you set up all your post-install scripts to be re-entrant, so that just works nice seamlessly. CF Engine's, last time I dealt with it, CF Engine dealt poorly with packages. I'm heard that in CF Engine 2 it's supported. FOI has native support for packages. It will trivially install, remove, hold, however you want to set up a package. No, not at the moment. You can get it to use Aptitude to generate that if you so desire. You can tell FOI to remove anything that's not explicitly listed and its dependencies. You can set it up like that. It is very configurable if you so desire. But I had a look at it myself. Has anyone else dealt with that? There was a post on attendees. You posted to attendees yesterday about it. Sorry. Has anyone actually touched it? Because I've used it briefly. I've used it briefly, and it looks like when I used it, it was the start of something that could be very useful. But at the time, it felt like a bunch of hacky scripts around real tools that really constrained what you wanted to do as long as you did it their way. I got the logic, but it didn't do what I needed the way I needed it. One of the benefits of the general Debian tools and ways of doing things like CF Engine, FAI, is they don't say you have to install something this way. They're very broad. It means that you have to configure them at more work, but it means that you do things your way. Your site might want to have, all your web server content in this location. Things like that, that certain specialized tools, and that's the feeling I got from that one. Debian installer.
And Debian installer. And it just was a matter of practicality rule in that particular project kept bundling along and doing whatever it happened to do. And it was possible to do without interaction with the maintainers, which is what the argument, the basic argument was, no, that should all be in the hosting scripts, it should all be configurable, and you shouldn't need to do these ad hoc clutches. But it still exists today, and it's still fairly popular.
Very good project, yeah. Very useful. We're using it at work. So. Back to some of the other notes I had in my talk. One of the problems I've had, and I'd like some input or comments from anyone else, is that we've got a lot of tools in Debian and a lot of tools in the Linux community that are related but don't necessarily relate to each other. Nagios is a classic example. Does anyone here use Nagios? Right, lots of hands. That's excellent. Does anyone here find writing Nagios configs fun? What do you use instead?
Well, currently, before I started the job, Big Brother was installed.
Yep.
It's mentioned in Infographics, I can swap into the functional Big Brother, but migrating to Nagios means writing a whole big
Isn't Big Brother just as difficult to configure?
Oh yeah, that's why it's just as
difficult. Well, the only way to use any of these things is to auto-generate the model.
That's exactly what I found. You do need to have tools to automatically generate. That's why John stepped out. I might just quickly finish up, if that's okay with everyone, unless anyone's got more comments.
Sure.
Now, the office code is interesting. For example, one of the things it does before it launches each external chat is, it goes around and scans all the memory, frees it, pause, does it again, pause again, does it again, and then calls exec without doing anything in between. Anything apart from the network service check that we feel has to be on external data on the box to just send track when stuff fails. So if stuff's okay, you might get an okay track once every half hour or something. Then it's stuck, and occasionally it gets into a little group that gets to see if anything and still thinks it's up and never actually sees any tracks when someone notices when stuff.
Having said that, it's probably going to be
Well, I've been looking around a lot for a tool, especially on this hand distributed system, distributed monitoring. And nothing out there doesn't make me cringe, even from the commercial offerings. All the commercial offerings I've seen make me cringe.
We're at 5,000 checks, and we're at a load average of about 5 on a dual core Optron with 8 gigs of RAM.
So I'll just close it off, have a chat afterwards.